breaking news here at Worldview Weekend and very exciting news. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and due to the feedback of many of our attendees to the Worldview Weekend in Branson, Missouri, and to make the Worldview Weekend more relaxing, we're moving the Worldview Weekend north of Branson. This way, you can show up and park your car, and you don't have to leave the grounds the entire weekend if you don't want to. No more rushing between the conference center and the hotel and the restaurant and back to the conference center. It's all in one location. We've negotiated incredibly affordable room rates at the beautiful Tantara Resort in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, on the beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. It's 1,500 miles of shoreline in the beautiful rolling hills of Lake of the Ozarks. Now, if you're flying in, you'll still fly into Springfield, Missouri Airport. That's about 90 minutes from the resort. And this is a great location for families. Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, and let them enjoy the resort as well as the great Biblical Worldview Weekend. Now, if you have children that are too young to attend or grandkids that are too young to attend the conference, guess what? Now they will have something to do with a relative or a babysitter while the rest of the family takes in the Worldview Weekend. There's an indoor water park. There's bowling alley. There's an arcade. There's an ice cream shop. There's a pizza shop. There's multiple restaurants. My favorite, Black Bear Lodge. I've had the chance to eat there several times. Check it out, won't you? WorldviewWeekend.com/Ozarks. WorldviewWeekend.com/Ozarks. And you will see the beautiful pictures of this beautiful resort. Hey, now it is truly a vacation with a purpose. Now, if you're planning to take in some of Branson, you still can do that before or after the conference because Branson is just about 90 minutes south of the conference center. Hey, don't delay. I think we're going to fill up fast with this new location that has so much to offer people of all ages. And wait till you see the conference center on this beautiful lake surrounded by the rolling hills of the Ozarks. Hey, I think this is a smart move for the 14th annual National Worldview Weekend now on Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. WorldviewWeekend.com/Ozarks. Check it out, won't you? Register by February 21st for priority upfront seating.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, BCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. I'm laughing because we just had a power outage. Everything went down. But I'm on the air, I'm being told. So I wasn't sure there until someone just told me my ear, but I figured. But, yeah, we had a power outage. Everything went down, and I called Master Control. I was getting a fast busy, and I thought to myself, they must have a power outage or a power surge or something because I went down, and then I'm getting a fast busy. So I dialed back in just to hear my theme music, and I thought, well, I'm just going to go for it. So here we are. And then they did tell me I am live. So there you go. It's amazing. The things that go on live radio, folks. And you know what? When I was a young guy, Many years ago, it would have given me a heart attack. I would have been all flustered. Now, not so much. You just kind of get used to it. It's just the way it is. It's live radio. Worst case scenario is they dial you up on the phone. We've done that, haven't we, folks? All right. Well, speaking about a young guy, we're joined by our friend Dr. John Whitcomb for what we call Ask Dr. John. Dr. John, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us. Oh, we have to redial Dr. John. All right. Not a problem. Let's see. What can I talk about today while we stall? Okay, here we go. This will be good. I have a big announcement related to our Branson Worldview Weekend. So you will want to pay attention probably on our Facebook page this afternoon, this evening. A big announcement about our Branson Worldview Weekend. It's going to be something totally different than we've ever done in regards to making it really enjoyable, relaxing, and something for the entire family. It's big news, and as soon as we have a signed contract, we will let you know about that, which should happen to today. So we'll let you know about that. So hold tight. Now, if you would like to send in a question for Dr. John on our normal program, you know, every 2 weeks is the plan, you can get one in for the next program by emailing us info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put on the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Okay? Ask Dr. John. And that way I can find it very, very quickly when we are going through emails to send on to Dr. John. All right? Well, folks, that right there is what you call filler. What you just heard is called filler. Huh? You know, I see, what I'm basically trying to do is teach you guys how to do radio, because some of you want to go on radio. So we kind of tell you the secrets of what goes on behind the scenes. And right there was filler for us to fill time waiting for Dr. John, because we lost him due to the power surge. Hey, Dr. John, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Praise the Lord. It's always a great privilege to open God's Word and listen to the Holy Spirit tell us the things we desperately need to know, especially in the days in which we live today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Dr. John's website is WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. All right, Dr. John, here's the first question. How and when did the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars come into existence?
Well, that is a very, very important issue. And I need to explain what it did to me. While I was at Princeton University in 1942 and 43, I was a godless evolutionist. Like my father and my grandfather, I knew nothing about the Savior and his work of creation. So amazingly, in God's mercy, someone led me to the Savior. And I've told that story in my books, The Early Earth, Our Created Moon, The Bible and Astronomy, and our CDs and DVDs, the amazing things God did to bring me to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I discovered, of course, that this was not billions of years ago, and it didn't happen by chance. No, everything in the universe, including the Earth, Sun, Moon, and stars, were directly, supernaturally created by God a very few thousand years ago, not millions or billions. And I just say thank you, God, for helping me understand these basic issues as a creationist now, and for all these years to be able to think about this, study about this, and teach and write, and I just say thank you, God, for helping me to understand how and when the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars actually came into existence. Praise God for his mercy in my life.
Amen to that. And Dr. John, you'll be 93 in June, is that right?
God willing, yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
All right, here's the next one. Did Jesus Christ, our Savior, have any part in the creation of the world?
Oh, my. This is astounding, because obviously Jesus was a man who walked this earth 2,000 years ago. You say he was a man? Yes. But he was also God. He was the God-man. And so we read, for example, in John chapter 1, these amazing words about him. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word was with God, that is his Father. And the Word was God. He was a total, eternal member of the triune Godhead. He was in the beginning with God. Now listen to this first, third verse. All things came into being by him. And apart from him, as Jesus, nothing came into being that has come into being. My, you mean through Jesus Christ, the whole universe was created? Yes. Listen to the Apostle Paul describe what happened in Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1, beginning verse 16. All right, here we go. By him, that's Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And I say, amazing that Jesus was the one, the second person of the triune Godhead, through whom the whole universe was created. And Hebrews chapter 1 likewise tells us the part that Jesus had in creation. Listen to Hebrews 1, verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, that's Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things. Now here we go. Through whom also he made the world. Just to think that a man who walked this earth 2,000 years ago was also a permanent, eternal part of the triune Godhead, and especially through him, the world was actually created out of nothing instantaneously by his infinite power. Thank you, Lord, for telling us how great our Savior really is. Thank you, God.
That's the voice of Dr. John Whitcomb, our resident theologian here at Worldview Radio. His website is WhitcombMinistries.org. You'll also find him on Sermon Audio and on Facebook and 7:30 a.m. Sunday mornings on the VCY America Radio Network. And you'll find him each week also at WorldviewRadio.com, our website. Here's the next question, Dr. John, that someone sent in. What function did the Holy Spirit have in the events of Genesis 1?
Yes, as we open the first verses of the Bible, we read this amazing statement. In Genesis chapter 1, and beginning with verse 2, and the earth, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Now here we go. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. He was superintending. He was connecting with. He was confirming, controlling the things that Jesus made according to the will of God the Father. Amazing. And so we also discover, to our amazement, in 2 Peter 1:21, the reason why we can read about that in Genesis 1 is because the Holy Spirit wrote that chapter. Really? Listen to this. No prophecy, this is 2 Peter 1:21, no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's not easy for us to comprehend. God didn't obliterate the distinctive vocabulary characteristics of the different writers of the Bible, Moses, and John, James, Peter, and so forth. Their distinctive style, vocabulary, was under the control of the Holy Spirit so that they never made one single mistake in what they wrote. Now, this is not happening today. It happened in Bible times from Moses to John in the book of Revelation by the unique special work of the Holy Spirit in the recording of these events. So I say, well, Lord, I'm just amazed at the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit to provide for us a book called the Bible, all 66 books written by the Holy Spirit through human writers with their distinctive styles and supernatural protection from any error at all. Thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit's work.
Absolutely. And thank you, Dr. John, for your ministry to us. And folks, if you would like to ask a question of Dr. John, all you have to do is send in your email info@worldviewweekend.com, and we will put it on our list of questions for, Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, info@worldviewweekend.com. And again, put in the subject line, please, Ask Dr. John. It's very important. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, so we can find those quickly and send them on to our friend Dr. John Whitcomb, who co-authored the classic historical and best-selling book, The Genesis Flood, with Dr. Henry Morris. Well, before we go to our break and then come back for more Ask Dr. John, let me just again remind you about our free Worldview Weekend rallies we'll be holding in many cities throughout America, starting here in just another couple months. And if you would like to find out more, all you have to do is go to worldviewweekend.com/conferences. worldviewweekend.com/conferences, and you'll see we're doing free Worldview Weekend rallies. They're one night, they're free, and we're coming to Rogers, Arkansas, March 4th, Wichita, Kansas, March 5th. I know we have a lot of listeners up in that part of the country. Oklahoma City, March 6th. Dallas, Texas, March 7th. Houston, Texas, March 8th. Now, we have some buildings we need to confirm, and we will be doing that this week and get those online. These buildings, however, have been confirmed. April 9th, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Monday, April 10th, La Crosse, Wisconsin. April 11th, Green Bay. Madison, Wisconsin, April 12th. Yeah, we found a building, got a contract, got a nice ballroom. And Milwaukee, April 13th. If you'd like to register for these, you can at worldviewweekend.com/conferences. The Worldview Weekend Rally is one night, and it's totally free as a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. And in 2017, we're going to these cities. Saturday night, March 4th, Rogers, Arkansas. Wichita, Kansas, Sunday night, March 5th. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Monday night, March 6th. Free Worldview Weekend Rally, Dallas, Texas, March 7th. That's a Tuesday night. Wednesday night, March 8th, Houston, Texas. And then in April, we're off to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. April 9th, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. April 10th, La Crosse, Wisconsin. April 11th, Green Bay, Wisconsin. April 12th, Madison, Wisconsin. And April 13th, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You can register now, free of charge, at wvwtv.com/conferences. That's wvwtv.com/conferences. Now, in Rogers and Wichita, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Houston, Sharam Hadian will be joining me, Brandon House, as one of the keynote speakers. And then in Sioux Falls, La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee, I'll be joined by former Muslim turned believer in Jesus Christ and pastor Sharam Hadian. Now, again, these are totally free, but you must register because it's not uncommon that we fill the auditorium that we rent. Therefore, you must register so we have enough seating. You can do that at wvwtv.com/conferences. Not only will these guys be speaking along with myself, but I'll start out the evening with a few songs from my new CD, as well as then leading you in a few songs as well. Then we'll get down to some great Bible teaching and Worldview Weekend keynote presentations. This is for the entire family. I would say age 10 to 110. We have a wide age group that attend these conferences. It's for the whole family, and it's 100% free. Now, we do take a free will offering to offset the renting of the facility and the travel expenses, but no one is turned away over money. That's why it's free. It's a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. Again, tell your friends about it, won't you? Tweet it, put it on Facebook, email it. Help us get out the word, won't you? And you can even go to our website and order up free magazines to distribute to get them excited about coming to the conference. You can order the free magazines at wvwtv.com/digest. wvwtv.com/digest. Order those up, won't you? And pass them out and get out the word about the free Worldview Weekend rallies coming to these cities. And then don't forget to register at wvwtv.com/conferences. The Worldview Weekend rallies, they're free, and they're a ministry of Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation. All right, welcome back. You know, when the power goes out and the computers go out and you have to reboot the computers and then the timing. And so I was telling you about the Worldview Weekend rallies, and then all of a sudden I look at my clock and it's the 15, or at the 15 mark, and I'm thinking, see, the music starts at the 14 mark and I wasn't hearing any music. By the 15 mark, I knew something's wrong. So I don't know what I was saying when I went out, but I didn't know if I was still alive or not. So again, you just act like you are because you never know. But if you want more details on the free Worldview Weekend rallies, worldviewweekend.com forward slash conferences, worldviewweekend.com/conferences. And I would particularly tell our friends in Sioux Falls, La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Milwaukee, you might want to register. Those have a tendency to fill up. And that's why it is free, but you need to register. So we have a seating for everyone. So please, worldviewweekend.com/conferences. USAMA will be with me in Rogers, Wichita, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Houston. Sharam Hadian will be with me in Sioux Falls, across Green Bay, Madison, and Milwaukee. So for many of you, this will be your first chance to hear him speak in person. For some of you saw him at the BCY rally, I'm sure. But for some of you in these other markets, that'll be the first time you've had the chance to meet him and visit with him. So, again, full details at worldviewweekend.com/conferences. All right, joining me for our next segment again here is Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. Now, here's the next question, Dr. John. A lot of questions about creation, the moon, the stars, the sun today. There's a theme going on here. All first four questions have dealt with creation. So here's the fourth. What does the Bible say about those who worship the sun, the moon, and the stars?
Yes, this in the ancient world was a very common practice. The Egyptians, as you perhaps know, worshiped the sun god and built monuments to him and to honor him. And that was true in many, many nations of the ancient world. As a matter of fact, if we want to be honest about it, evolutionists worship the sun. Why? Because they believe that billions of years ago, sunshine on the oceans of this planet brought into existence that first speck of life. And under the sun, and it's shining upon this earth, things evolve for millions and billions of years, and I was an evolutionist and believed that. And God has very strong statements about this matter. Listen, for example, to what he says in the book of Job, chapter 31, verse 26. If I have looked at the sun when it shone, or the moon going in splendor, and my heart became secretly enticed, and my hand threw a kiss from my mouth, that too would have been iniquity calling for judgment, for I would have denied God above. My. Job, of course, lived not long after the Genesis flood, and before the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, lived, and he was reflecting on what people everywhere were doing. And, what does God think about that? Well, listen to Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 19. And beware, lest you lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven. God created them. They are not to be worshipped. Only God. Now, listen to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah, the prophet, chapter 8 in his wonderful book. Verse 2. The kings and the princes of Israel in Jeremiah's day, in deep apostasy and unbelief, did what? They spread themselves out before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, which they loved, served, have gone after, and sought, and which they have worshipped. And I say, oh, Lord, how awful for Israelites, Jews, to do what pagans were doing around the world, to indulge in sun and moon worship. And I say, Lord, how amazing, how amazing. Well, friends, we do know, don't we, that God made a special point in Genesis 1 to postpone the creation of the sun to the fourth day to show, among other things, that we're not to worship the sun. The sun wasn't even here when the earth was created in Genesis 1. verse 1. Isn't that amazing? God deliberately, intentionally postponed the creation of the sun till the fourth day, among other reasons, to show that it is not to be worshipped. And I say, well, Lord, I'm just amazed at how clear, precise, emphatic you have repeatedly stated this point. Help us to abandon all false worship, evolutionism included, and to worship Jesus Christ, your Son, by the Holy Spirit, for your glory alone. Thank you, God.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, here's the next question. Where did Satan and demons come from?
Oh, my. Listen to this. Job chapter 38. All right? What happened here? What happened? Well, we read in our utter amazement these words. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's when God laid the foundation of the earth. When God created this earth, who sang? The morning stars. Who sang? The sons of God who shouted for joy. Well, you say, now, wait a minute. who were these? Well, we read in chapter 1, verse 6 of Job, that these were, of course, Satan and the demons before they fell. Job chapter 1 says this in verse number 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. You say, sons of God? Yes, that means they were directly created by God, and they were angels. My. And so, how come, you mean God created an evil angels? No. Because Genesis chapter 1 says in verse 31 that everything that God had created, including angels, were still absolutely perfect at the end of the creation week. Listen to these words. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And I say, well, what happened? Well, after the creation week ended, and before Adam and Eve were created, sometime, that is, before they fell, I'm sorry, Satan and millions of angels rebelled against God and were brought under judgment. When and how did that happen? Well, Ezekiel chapter 28 gives us an insight on this awful event. Remember, after creation week had ended, and before the temptation in Genesis 3 of Eve and then Adam, what happened? Here we are. God described Satan as he was created. You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub. Cherub, remember, was a certain kind of angel. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I place you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until when? Till unrighteousness was found in you. And I've cast you out as profane from the mountain of God. I've destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. And I say, well, Lord, how amazing that Satan and minions of his matter of fact, one-third of all the angels joined Satan and were cast out of heaven. And that's a fascinating study in the Bible. Where did Satan and demons come from? No opportunity for fallen angels to be redeemed, regenerated, saved like God graciously provides for human beings. And I say, Lord, help me to understand the infinite horror of willfully rejecting our God in our heart. And yet, not for demons, not for Satan, but for human beings. Jesus became a human and died in our place and paid the penalty of our sin, confirmed by his resurrection, so that it's possible for a human being to be saved, transformed, and ultimately glorified to worship and serve our God forever. Thank you, Lord, for this infinite difference between what Satan did and what we did in your plan of the ages.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, here's the next question. What are some of your favorite experiences in ministry? Now, we've got about a minute for the break, so if the theme music plays. But if we come back, which we will, we'll have him pick that up. So what are some of your favorite experiences in ministry? That's what Dr. John will answer when we come back. I don't want to interrupt him with the break. If you want to get in a question for our next Ask Dr. John, and by the way, they're already coming in, questions are already coming in, you can do that at info@worldviewweekend.com. info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Okay? Also, don't forget about our bookstore. We have a bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore or wvwtv.com/bookstore, and you'll find a lot of resources in there. I hope you'll check that out, wvwtv.com/bookstore. Mentioning WVWTV, we do have a lot of brand new programs this week that have gone up. One of them is The Global Rise of the Marxist and Muslim Coalition in the Last Days, Part 2. So that is in the bookstore now, Part 2 of that. Early church heresies that are still an issue today. That's with Justin Peters and Pastor Jim Osmond. And they're talking about Gnosticism, something that's alluded to in the New Testament, in the epistles. Paul talks about it, makes reference to it. Well, it's still very much around today. Would you like to guess one way it manifests itself? How about the Word of Faith movement? Yeah, that's a form of Gnosticism, seeking hidden knowledge that only the spiritual elite can have. Well, you'll find that 30-minute television program at WVWTV.com. We've also added a verse-by-verse study number 7 by Tommy Heiss on Revelation and Romans. We'll be right back. Four clubs for the price of one. That's what's going on now at SituationRoom.net. We just added WorldviewTraining.com as one of the new clubs as part of your membership. At WorldviewTraining.com, you can take biblical worldview classes, and we'll be adding new classes on a regular basis. You also have access to MyWorldview.com, which is our biblical worldview social media page. You also get the membership to Worldviewpedia, our biblical online worldview and Bible software program. Check it out, WorldviewPedia.com, MyWorldview.com, WorldviewTraining.com, and SituationRoom.net. Four clubs for the price of one. Now about $110,000 in resources on demand. Four clubs for the price of one for just $8.99 a month. Get a membership if you don't have one. Give your email address and password to anybody in your immediate family that lives in your household, or if they're away at college, that's fine. And your entire family can enjoy all four of these clubs for just $8.99 a month or $89.99 a year. Check it out, won't you? SituationRoom.net/join. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. All right, Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. His website is whitcombministries.org. And now, some stories from Dr. John. Gather around, kids. Dr. John is going to tell us about some of his favorite experiences in ministry. Dr. John, you got a lot of years to choose from, but let's hear some of your best experiences, your most favorite experiences in ministry?
Well, let me put it this way. Believing prayer, oh my, to open my heart to the Holy Spirit each morning, each day, and I say, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, help me to honor you and to worship you. And the Holy Spirit, of course, intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How infinitely important believing prayer is in the light of the Word of God, as we'll understand more fully in the ages to come in heaven. And another favorite experience, of course, is reading, studying God's precious Word, the Bible. That has to be number one in my life, in your life. Listen to what God has said in the book the Holy Spirit wrote for illumination and edification. You know, I just am amazed in chapter 17, as Paul was preaching, he came to a town called Berea. And it says, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the word, that's God's word, with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Many of them therefore believed. And I say, Lord, we are so distracted by all kinds of literature and experiences that we don't have time to do the most important thing of all, to listen to God speak to us through his precious word, the only Bible, the only book that God has ever written. And another, of course, in the light of that, is to be able to tell other people about him, about God's word. That's preaching and teaching. It was my privilege to be a professor of theology in the Old Testament for 39 years at a theological seminary, and to be able to teach over 1,000 students during those years the precious things of God's word. I still hear from some of them who have gone around the world as missionaries to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in addition to that, I've enjoyed so much being able to write books about God's word. The Genesis Flood, co-authored with Henry Morris, who helped me understand these questions about where the fossils came from and what kind of a catastrophe that was in the days of Noah, and about how the world was created. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful experience of being able to write these things down. And we trust that on our website you can perhaps benefit from some of those writings that, to the extent that they were true to God's word. And now listen to this one. Distributing gospel tracts. It's what a joy to be able to go into a restaurant or a store and graciously, prayerfully hand out a tract to somebody. As I say facetiously, sometimes I'm trying to be attractive. So I live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we've been doing this for several years now, and I went to a conference in Ohio and went to a restaurant, and the person that was served us said, well, you gave me one of these when I was in Indianapolis. So I say, well, thank you, Lord, we've covered that city. But really, what a privilege it is to take a little portion of God's word in written form and be able to share it lovingly, cautiously, carefully, humbly, graciously, prayerfully to someone who needs to know about the Savior of the world.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. John. All right, here's the next one. Why did Jesus tell the Apostle John to take care of his mother if her son James was soon to become a Christian?
Yes, that's amazing. John 19:25 tells you what happened. Imagine this. While the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was standing by the cross of Jesus his mother. His mother. mother Mary. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John himself, John, the author of the Gospel of John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. How gracious our Lord Jesus was as he was dying to make special, loving, gracious provision for Mary, his mother. You say, now, wait a minute. What about her own son, James? Why didn't Jesus have his mother's son, James, as you know, was born, of course, later than Jesus, to Mary? Well, the answer is that he wasn't a believer. He was not yet a believer. Because in Acts 1, here's what happened. When the Lord Jesus arose from the dead and ascended to heaven, it says the disciples returned to the city of Jerusalem and did what? And with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. So at this time, some, if not all, of his brothers had come to salvation. And I say, well, Lord, that is absolutely amazing. After all those years living in the same home in Nazareth with Jesus as unbelievers, they finally came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, of course, as we know, Mary's husband had already died and never lived to see his sons become believers. So praise the Lord for this record of what happened. And James, of course, later was the author of a book by that name. And another brother, Jude, also wrote a book of the New Testament. And I say, well, Lord, thank you for this wonderful revelation of how gracious and kind and merciful the Lord Jesus was, even in his dying moments on that cross.
Thank you, Dr. John. Here's the next one. Should Christians go into bars to attempt to witness for Christ?
That is a challenge. That's a challenge. God says, be careful. Be careful where you go and what you do. Because somebody who is weak in his faith can be misled and badly hurt by your example. 1 Corinthians 10 puts it this way, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. So eat anything that is sold in the market without asking questions for conscience sake. But if one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat anything that's set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone should say to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it. For the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake, I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? Answer, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. You see, friends, here's the point. You, in a clear conscience, could enter into a place of a bar like that to hand out a tract lovingly and be a witness. But a weak believer sees you doing that, and he says, oh, wait, there must not be any problem of going into a bar. And he would be tempted, you see, to do that and compromise his convictions and expose himself, you see, to very, very sad this way. A place where God is not honored at all. Now, you say, well, then, what are we supposed to do then? Just pray that God will give you an opportunity to witness to people who really want to be reached, want to be helped. Say, well, what's that? They're called prisons, where millions of people who desperately need a Savior are accessible, available for your witness. One of our sons, Bob Whitcomb, for years has involved himself with prison ministries. He does beautiful work. He used to do that, especially in more earlier years of his career, do juggling, give his testimony, and see hundreds, if not thousands, of prisoners come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there, I say, well, thank you, Lord, for giving us guidance in this matter, because we want to be careful that where we go, our relationship, our situation, our location will not be hurtful to the conscience of weaker Christians. And so we say, well, thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful opportunities you give to us, wherever we go, to be a witness for Jesus, and to pray that we will not be in any way an offense to someone who is a weak believer, to be honest, open, and God-honoring in everything we do, everywhere we go, and what we say and do. What a challenge. I say, Lord, help me. Help me to be more effective for you, for your glory, in my ministry, for my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Absolutely. Our guest is Dr. John Whitcomb, and his website is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. Again, if you'd like to get in your questions for us for our next broadcast, the email address is info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Now, here is a question, Dr. John, because we've run through our questions everyone has sent in, but we got a little bit of time left. So, folks, if you'd like to email in a question, you can do that. We're not going to open the phone lines. It's just a little difficult for Dr. John sometimes to hear you guys, particularly when some of you are on cell phones and stuff. So if you want to email me in your questions, I'll ask them of Dr. John, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com. I'll ask some of them for him to answer right now. If you just send them in to me, info@worldviewweekend.com. I have one here from Debbie. She sent one in. We'll ask Dr. John that question when we come back. info@worldviewweekend.com is the way to send in your question today versus using the phone. info@worldviewweekend.com. We'll be back with more of Ask Dr. John with our very dear and special friend, Dr. John Whitcomb. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we're making the Brandon House Worldview Library of 8 books available to you for just $59.95. Normal retail price is $133, and most of these books are hardcover. Religious Trojan Horse, Grave Influence, The Coming Religious Reich, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 1, Christian Worldview for Students, Volume 2, and Building a Biblical Worldview, verse by verse, are all hardcover. And then paperback, What Every Christian Should Know, and Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. 8 books for just $59.99. Now, we have a few of these books that are about to go out of print. Our inventory is very low, so if you'd like to get this 8-book set, I would urge you to do that now. This would make a great Christmas gift for a family member, a friend, pastor, Sunday school teacher. Again, quantities are limited because a couple of these books are about to go out of print. So, I urge you to place your order now, and again, it's not too early to place an order and make this a Christmas gift. Go ahead and order it now. Have it shipped to you. Put it away. And in just a couple of months, you can give it to somebody for Christmas. You can order it right now in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore. 8 books, normally $133 for just $59.99. Check it out, won't you? wvwtv.com/bookstore. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. You want to send in a question for Dr. John? You can send it to me, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and we'll answer it now. We've run through all the questions that you have sent in, so we'll have a few here that have come in, info@worldviewweekend.com, if you'd like to send in some more. Deb would like to know this, Dr. John. She says, yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, here's what Deb says. Deb says, what's the best way to handle a person that used to believe everything about the Bible and then, through research and reading, bought into believing the lies about the Bible? They came to believe the Bible is not true. She says this person ministered over in Africa in linguistics and translation and now teaches English as a professor to international students. We had attended Bible college together back in the 80s. But today, they've rejected the true claims of Christ and the Bible. What is the best way to handle someone like this? I'm guessing that somehow our dear listener Deb has it on her heart to try to evangelize them. But it sounds like to me they have had all that. They know all that. This clearly is the case of someone who was a false convert, because the Bible is very clear about perseverance of the saints and continuing on. So at this point, this is not a matter of throwing more information at this person. Would it not be more about just simply praying that the Holy Spirit would convict them? Because, again, we know that we can't change their mind. Only the Holy Spirit can. So at this point, this kind of person who has left the faith, really about all we can do is pray for them, right?
Yes, we pray for that person, and we just say, Lord, help me to be a testimony, because this is true so many times. Sad to say, the Bible talks about people, of course, many verses in the New Testament, who once walked with the Lord and then began to drift away in one way or another. Now, of course, if they really knew the Lord at the beginning, they can't lose their salvation.
Right.
What they will lose is their reward in heaven. 1 Corinthians, you remember, chapter 3 says, when we appear before the Christ at the judgment seat, the things that we have said and done will be brought to light, and, oh my, it's a little bit frightening. Each man's work will become evident. The day will declare it. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. Now listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose what? Your reward. That's the thing that is so terrifying. Lord, help me to be faithful, to be humble, to be submissive to your word. By the Holy Spirit, all of us have sin nature. We'll never get rid of our sin nature until the rapture or resurrection. And I say, Lord, just help me to be faithful and reflect the light of Jesus as long as you have me here on this earth. And I just say, Lord, help me to be observant, patient, and available to be of help to some who may have drifted from the things of God.
Mm. Here's one, Dr. John. Timothy would like to know, could the creation of stars in Genesis 1 have a double meaning? That is, referring to physical stars as well as angels.
I don't believe so. I believe in Genesis 1 the stars are not angels, because it puts them in a special context. What is that? And God created the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. So you see, the stars in Genesis 1 are connected with what? The sun and the moon. Sun, greater light, moon, lesser night, stars also. Now, of course, in other passages, we've seen before in our discussion that angels are sometimes described that way, but not in Genesis 1. And I say, well, Lord, help me to see the amazing complexity of the things that you've done, and how you created all kinds of marvelous things out there in space that someday we'll understand more clearly when, how, why you did what you said you did in the only book you've ever written.
Here's one, Dr. John. So you think there will be evangelistic rallies during the millennium? Is that what do you think that? This is what Jan wants to know from Dallas, Texas.
Evangelistic rallies. Well, of course, we realize that in the millennium, at the beginning, there will be only believers will be left on this earth. But the sad part of the millennium is that every believer who enters alive into the millennium, the thousand-year kingdom of Jesus, their children, through the hundreds of years, will more and more be unbelievers. Until finally, at the end of the millennium, millions, if not billions, of people who've paid lip service, outward conformity to the worship program of God, will be judged. And that is one of the saddest things. Even in a perfect government, in a perfect world, there will be the sin nature of man. So I say, well, Lord, help me to realize that the privileges I have today under Jesus, my Savior, by the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible, give me an opportunity to trust you and to obey you and to do your will, because an improved government, a perfect government, will not change your heart. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says, and who can know it? So, Lord, search my heart and help me to worship you in spirit and in truth for your glory on this earth. Amen.
Amen. You know, I was thinking what Dr. John's saying there is that even moralizing, trying for the perfect government, the perfect state of affairs, the perfect public policy, that doesn't even change the hearts of believers, I mean of non-believers, does it? And we see that even in the millennium with Christ ruling and reigning, they will see all these things, but that isn't enough to convert. So again, I think it shows us the dangers of moralizing, and just make it real simple what it is, folks. Preach the gospel, let the Holy Spirit convict. That's what we do. Dr. John, thanks for being with us.
God bless you. God bless you until we see the Savior perhaps today.
Amen. Dr. John Whitcomb, his website, WhitcombMinistries.org, ours, WorldViewRadio.com. Stay tuned for Crosstalk. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to WorldViewWeekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of WorldViewWeekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Breaking news here at Worldview Weekend and very exciting news. Hello, I'm Brannon House, and due to the feedback of many of our attendees to the Worldview Weekend in Branson, Missouri, and to make the Worldview Weekend more relaxing, we're moving the Worldview Weekend north of Branson. This way, you can show up and park your car, and you don't have to leave the grounds the entire weekend if you don't want to. No more rushing between the conference center and the hotel and the restaurant and back to the conference center. It's all in one location. We've negotiated incredibly affordable room rates at the beautiful Tantara Resort in Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, on the beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. It's 1,500 miles of shoreline in the beautiful rolling hills of Lake of the Ozarks. Now, if you're flying in, you'll still fly into Springfield, Missouri Airport. That's about 90 minutes from the resort. And this is a great location for families. Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, and let them enjoy the resort as well as the great biblical Worldview Weekend. Now, if you have children that are too young to attend or grandkids that are too young to attend the conference, guess what? Now they will have something to do with a relative or a babysitter while the rest of the family takes in the Worldview Weekend. There's an indoor water park. There's bowling alley. There's an arcade. There's an ice cream shop. There's a pizza shop. There's multiple restaurants. My favorite, Black Bear Lodge. I've had the chance to eat there several times. Check it out, won't you? WorldviewWeekend.com/Ozarks. WorldviewWeekend.com/Ozarks. Ozarks, and you will see the beautiful pictures of this beautiful resort. Hey, now it is truly a vacation with a purpose. Now, if you're planning to take in some of Branson, you still can do that before or after the conference, because Branson is just about 90 minutes south of the conference center. Hey, don't delay. I think we're going to fill up fast with this new location that has so much to offer people of all ages. And wait till you see the conference center on this beautiful lake surrounded by the rolling hills of the Ozarks. Hey, I think this is a smart move for the 14th annual National Worldview Weekend, now on Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. Worldviewweekend.com/Ozarks. Check it out, won't you? Register by February 21st for priority upfront seating.